You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's July 24th, 2025, and welcome to episode 142 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. It's great to be back after having a week off. Last week I was with my family visiting Rocky Mountain National Park, which is just a stunning place. I couldn't get over how beautiful it was. Really amazing. Equally beautiful is the Switch 2, which I picked up right before my trip. And on this episode, I'm going to be talking about Mario Kart World. But as always, we start the show by checking out some of the gaming news from this past week. And the big console makers are always bragging about the ways in which their hardware can boost your gaming experience, giving you sharper visuals and smoother performance. But this week, Sony announced a new feature coming to PlayStation, which while in use will make your games run worse on purpose. I'm very serious. In an effort to be more environmentally conscious, the PS5 is getting a power-saving mode, which will reduce the energy usage of your console by reducing the performance of supported games. In a PlayStation blog post, they say that, quote, once it officially launches, supported PS5 games will scale back performance and will allow your PS5 to reduce its power consumption when the feature is enabled, optionally by gamers. They also explain that while the mode is enabled, PlayStation VR will not be playable. This is certainly an unusual pitch. It's an odd feature to promote. The idea of making the PS5 more eco-friendly is, you know, undoubtedly a very good thing. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't count the number of frames that your games are running at, this, you know, could be a great option for you. So before I get talking about the Mario Kart World, let me first talk a little bit about the Switch 2 itself. I've had like about 2 weeks or so with it now, I think, and I would say that so far I have been very impressed with the console. It definitely feels like more of a premium product. It is sturdy, it's got a good weight to it. It's got a sleek appearance, and the screen is very nice. It's nice and big and crystal clear. And you know, while the screen isn't itself a big priority to me, since I play almost all of my Switch games docked, I did play some on the plane last week, and it looks and feels really good. I particularly like the larger Joy-Cons. I'm a weirdo who preferred the Joy-Cons on the original over using the Pro controllers, so these feel much, much better. As far as like the inner workings of the Switch 2, it really, you know, it does feel more like a Switch Pro rather than a huge evolution or change in direction, but I'm good with that. I haven't seen anything yet that looks like a massive leap graphically, but more importantly, it seems like everything runs more smoothly. The UI is very similar. You know, the Switch store is similar, but they've tweaked things a bit, and it's quicker and smoother to move around the menus. I wish that they would bring back some of the silly and fun little bits from the Wii era, you know, like the Mii customization contests, or the polls, or hell, the Weather Channel. You know, that stuff brought a lot of personality that I think the Switch era has kind of lacked. Overall, though, I think it's a really nice improvement over the original. I don't think they needed to reinvent the wheel, and they focused on the areas that, you know, most needed refinement: durability, comfort, and running smoothly. So now let's talk about Mario Kart World. This is the Switch 2 game, you know, the system seller. There are a couple of other small titles that launched alongside the system, and there are some upgrades to Switch 1 games, but if you dropped the $500 on a Switch 2 at launch, it was to play Mario Kart. And that's a fair amount to be resting on that game's shoulders. And I'm already on record as saying that I didn't think Mario Kart even needed a sequel after the, you know, nearly perfect Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So how does this stack up? Should it take the place of Mario Kart 8 in your gaming rotation? Does it improve on the formula? I think the answer is, for the most part, yes. The big difference between this game and previous entries is the open world. There's now a pretty vast and open map for you to race across and explore. And I think that this new approach brings some positives and also some negatives. I do really like the wildness of races with 24 players now on these larger tracks. You know, races feel more intense with so many drivers bumping into each other and fighting for position, but it never feels like too out of control. I could imagine how it could have gotten too nuts with dozens of red shells, you know, flying all over the place. But it seems like they've found a really good balance here. It's hectic, but it feels, it's not overwhelming. I also dig the new mechanics, like grinding on rails and fences, which gives you a little speed boost, and how your cart turns into a jet ski, letting you race on water. That is super fun when it happens, and it only reinforces how badly I want a new wave race game. And I think the track design is, for the most part, very good. You know, there are some that are a little on the boring side, and, you know, the way that they link race courses together now through the open world means that the parts where you're driving in between them isn't super interesting, but the ones that are good are really good, and I think that makes up for the few clunkers. As far as new modes go, I do really like knockout mode, which eliminates a few of the racers in last place every time you go through a checkpoint. It's basically battle royale mode for Mario Kart, and it's really fun to play online. On the other hand, I found the open world free roam mode to be pretty underwhelming. There's just nothing that interesting to do. The objectives that you come across are pretty vanilla, and the rewards are not worth the effort, in my opinion. You know, you get little stickers to collect, but I just didn't care about those. I honestly think if they would have done an achievement system on the Switch 2, and I'm bummed that they didn't, I would be more inclined to try and, you know, go around and collect everything. As it is, I probably won't spend much more time there. My favorite thing I think about the game, though, is maybe it's just its celebration of the history of the Super Mario games. The list of playable characters is loaded to the gills with not only classics like Luigi and Yoshi, but tons of lesser-known characters like Monty Mole and Pokey and Cheep Cheeps and Wiggler. And how does a Cheep Cheep drive a car with no arms or legs? I don't know. Whoever your favorite Mario character is, there is a good chance that they're in the game. And if they aren't in the character select screen, you might find them on the tracks where even more characters run around the world and try to knock you out of first place. And the track designs themselves feature locations, everything from a Koopa airship to a giant Donkey Kong level. It's really cool, and it's a love letter to that, to the series, the entire Mario series. It's been, you know, over a decade since the last major release, you know, so is Mario Kart World a revolutionary new racer that propels the series in bold new directions? No, not really. But is it a super fun kart racer that celebrates one of the greatest series of all time and contains that signature Nintendo magic that'll put a huge smile on your face? Yeah, absolutely. As many of you know, I consider myself to be something of a foodie. I love to travel and I love to experience local delicacies from wherever I'm going, whether that is pizza in Chicago or takoyaki in Tokyo. Well, like I said at the top of the show, last week I was on vacation with my family in Colorado. We explored the beautiful town of Estes Park and ventured into Rocky Mountain National Park. We also ate out at a lot of restaurants, and I got to check something off of my bizarre foods bingo card: Rocky Mountain oysters. If you don't know what a Rocky Mountain oyster is, it also goes by the name of cowboy caviar. Or, to be more specific, they are thinly sliced, deep-fried bull testicles. Yep. Balls. Cojones. Family jewels. Bean bags. Snow globes. Bojangles. Marbles. Danglers. Elderberries. Meat pods. Undernuggets. Smooth criminals. Or Henry Winkler. Did they taste good? Not particularly, but I don't think that the meat clackers themselves are to blame. They actually deep fried them so aggressively that the balls were too dry and crunchy, which is not how you want to eat your cobblestones. Am I glad that I tried them? Sure. Why not? But if you're gonna put trouser barnacles on your menu, you better not overcook them. That's just nuts. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So, until next time, be well and happy gaming.